And now, your Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast with your league commissioners, David, Jonathan, and Stuart.
Merry Christmas. We're here. We're back. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard the other awesome episodes that we recorded between now and September, but there's been plenty that have gone out. So just check your Russian websites. It's out there. But we're back officially to do a special Christmas recording, and we are just recording on the fly. We have a couple of, we have a regular and a semi-regular in here. So you're not commissioner.
I'm pretty regular.
You're pretty regular. Stay reg. Eat your prunes.
TMI.
We've got the two-time champ, Stuart Head. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Got some sick kids, so that's not fun. But you know, well,
the clapping wasn't for the kids. It was just a welcome in. Sorry, bad timing.
Glad to be in the playoffs. I mean, in the toilet bowl.
Oh yeah. We'll talk about that later. You and I have some things to suss out. We also have Mr. I think I'm just going to call him Mr. Website. Joey has joined the show. Welcome, Joey.
Heyo.
Hopefully no sick kids, because again, bad timing on the clapping. Yeah, this is a impromptu show. We don't have any agenda. Just wanted to get a couple people on. Maybe share your experiences so far in the playoffs. We have two heartbreaks here. We've got Stuart getting his playoff streak snapped going into the playoffs. And then we got Joey, who was hopeful for a title, who is no longer in contention and felt it in the first round. I've known I've been out alongside David for a while now, so I accepted it a long time ago. I took it. Took it right in the shorts, and I'm ready to move on to the toilet bowl. So the floor is your guys. I mean, feel free to share your feelings, your thoughts, what you think is going to happen for the rest of the playoffs. Go for it.
Oh, I guess we'll talk with start with the folks that are actually in the playoffs. Okay. Yeah, what a year this has been. First, I'm very thankful for this isn't Thanksgiving, right?
No.
I'm appreciative of that I got the right lineup last week, even though I lost. I kind of laid this out in the text. I'm glad I let it all out there on the field,
and it didn't hurt me
too bad.
Yeah, you'd hate to bench a stud.
Yeah, well, I benched Tua. I mean, I know Tua was hot, but I had to bench him for Stafford.
Okay,
this
question came up, yep. And I think David and Stuart answered it in similar fashion. I thought I sent a message. And I don't know what's going on with my sleeper app, but I actually took the other side. I get Bryce's logic as to why he started Howell. And let me just be clear. Howell has been surprisingly good. I thought he was not as good as his stats say he is.
It's the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, it's just such a wild card. But the fact of the matter is, in my opinion, if your studs have a shot at playing, you start them. I would much rather go down with my best player letting me down than have the chance that, oh, well, he may or may not play. Let's put him on my bench and just take whatever small amount of points I think I can get from his replacement. And again, to Bryce's point, he didn't need that many points. And he just drew the short straw. It was the worst of both worlds, but I can live with the fact that my best player just doesn't perform, versus my best player's on my bench and it's a 50-50 shot of him playing kind of thing. So there was no way they were going to not play Hurts. I've been burned by the reporting as well with David Montgomery. So, I get it. It's tempting to read into that and try and get cute with your lineup, but I would have started Hurts. Stuart, you had a different take on that.
I did. My wife is calling me from the doctor, so I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. This is the
all right.
part of the show where we pivot, because again, this wasn't planned, but this is the only way this is going to get done. So Joey, your thoughts on, because clearly you're in the camp of, not necessarily clearly, but maybe more so in the camp of Bryce and his decision-making than what I just said.
Well, I don't know that I'm in the camp of what Bryce's decision-making was, right? I just read the field, and that was that Tyreek was going to be hurt. And if my number one target for Tua is not going to be influencing the field, Tua's going to be in great shape. And he's one hit away from not even being beaten. So, and maybe the third part is Stewart owns Tyreek, so Tyreek's destined to get hurt. I don't know.
No, I kind of get your decision on that. And I think I stipulated that in the message that didn't exist on Sleeper. Cause again, I thought I sent it and it just didn't appear, but you actually had appropriate information on Tyreek that he was not playing.
Exactly.
What if,
like
what if, let's put it this way. What if Tyreek had the same status that Jalen Hurts did? Okay, he pops up last second being sick. What would you have done?
Oh, I probably would have played him. I would have played Tua. If Tyreek had an option to play, I would have kept Tua in.
So that's kind of where I was going, is unless you know that they're out, I take the chance on my best players. So
I was also reading like what was the opponent and what is my feel on. Sometimes Sleeper, you know, yes, they're using the numbers, but there's also just, I don't know, history there. Like, I don't know, certain teams I just have always marked as they are just going to find a way to screw it up. And I think Washington football team's one of them, even though that wasn't part of my thing. But
no, I mean, you could draw that conclusion. Bryce's logic was sound, right? He needed a small amount of points to beat Lewis. The problem was it was too small that he got. And then he'll tell you the specifics of the situation, which was even on top of that, within that game, Howell should have been still a good start because the Jacoby Brissett, the backup, came in and actually scooped up all the garbage points that Howell would have scooped up if he would have just stayed in the game, theoretically, assuming he would have performed the exact same way.
Yeah, that was the other problem. That's the other beef I have right now, is I think I also got frustrated with the Dolphins are either boom or bust. And when they're boom, Tua gets pulled early fourth quarter. And unless I got the points I needed, he's not going to, you know, keep raking up the points. Whereas I think I just had a hunch that Stafford was getting hotter. Cup and Puka were both doing better. So, like, roll the dice there that I've got healthier guys that are on a streak versus the up and down of, I don't know, Tua and the Dolphins at the moment.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's something to that. And that's why the analytics, you have to take into account, you know, you can't just spreadsheet it, right? You have to look at what actually happens and understand that real football takes priority over fantasy and decision-making. And sometimes that will affect your fantasy decision-making because of that. So, you know, the Commanders proved it out when they benched Howell and put in Brissett and then ended up scoring two touchdowns or whatever it was. And, you know, that ended up quote unquote benefiting the Commanders in that moment. But, you know, who's to say if he had, you know, if Howell had been left in, that he would have ended up getting at least some of those points, because Bryce only needed, what was it, like five more points to win?
Yeah, so, but he still would have lost if he had. We talked about if the points would have been 10 instead of 6, he still would have lost with that, I think.
Right, but he would have, that's what I'm saying, he needed another like 5 points.
Yeah.
Or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I mean, he's going against Lewis, and Lewis has a history of doing this
Lewis is the guy you don't want to play in the playoffs. And I, you know what? I had Lewis in my division for the past like 3 years, and he would always beat me with these like 500 teams. Like he would just be even throughout the year, but he'd always beat me. And it would just be a blow up game by somebody. And he had just a bunch of blow up guys or nothing. The three zeros is astonishing that he had really no one do well outside of his three or four good players.
Well, like, I think he's got a strategy that's working. Clearly it's working. Whoa.
Welcome to the show, William Knifeman.
Hey guys, it's good to be here.
Yep.
Welcome.
We've got myself, we've got the ghost of Stuart that you see there. Joey is in and out. He's at a cafe. And then we've got the William Knifeman, who I trust is being smart while not driving. Good. He's not in motion. He is in his car, but
Tesla, right? It's just driving it for you. I mean, you don't have to do anything.
Oh, there's a Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey guys, it's just really good to be here.
Hey, We were allowing, I opened the floor up to Stuart and Joey to share their feelings on the playoffs. As I mentioned, I accepted my fate a while back, so I don't, you know, there's nothing fresh for me to reshare. You, on the other hand, Ryan, had the polar opposite season from the season before, essentially, as far as results go. So you had a dominant team last year with all the draft picks, put all the chips in the middle, lost first round. This year, you decided, heck, who needs draft picks? Let's just go into this thing, this bad boy shooting from the hip. And then you hit on all your draft picks that you actually did have. And now you find yourself in the semifinals, which is this your second time here?
You know, guys, it's just really good to be here. I'm just happy to be here. So,
this is a safe space. We're not going to allow you to be jinxed by any words. The fact that you came on the show, in fact, let me send an invite over to Staffel because I actually didn't.
Appropriate.
I feel like he should have a chance to rebut anything you say. However, off to a good start so far, right?
Yeah.
One call out.
This is an audio only podcast, and Ryan is definitely.
I'm just happy to be here, guys. You know,
he's signaling through the video part of this that he is in dire straits, and I think he said he wet his pants, or maybe it was number three. He number threed his pants.
Number
three, and rightfully so. It's not cutting time. It's time to win or shut up. You've got a shot to make your first ever championship game a realistic shot. I really wish we got more out of you, but I understand you not wanting to jinx yourself, so I can fill in the gaps if you'd like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so what does it tell us that when the Searles are at the bottom two and the Palomos are at the top two, what are us Searles doing wrong? Us Searles. I think it's just you, Searles.
When you say bottom two, do you mean in the toilet bowl?
Toilet bowl versus
you say bottom two, that's very specific. You're going to clarify because I finished 10th. So I wasn't in the bottom two from the regular season standpoint, and Dad won his first round in the bottom bracket. So he's not in the final two like I am with Stuart. So to be fair, it's not really the final two. And when Stuart gets back here, we're going to make a little side bet. I'm going to talk him into it for the last place game. He's got an advantage. He's projected to beat me by 16 points. He had a good start with Olave. Olave's best game on the year. I don't think he should be running away from any bets thrown out there. Ryan has officially sketched a pretty accurate turd.
I think you've got another career here.
It's that career or you're asking for a Frosty. I don't know. either way, eating it can be dangerous.
Depends on,
Remind me to play Pictionary with you and you're on my team, because I think we have a real good shot at winning that.
Hey, what about the run to
go ahead?
What about the run to the playoffs this year? So you asked about, hey, what did you guys think about playoffs in the year and stuff? What do you guys think about all
this? This is the highest low seeded win total with seven, I think, that we've ever had. Part of that is having 14 games instead of 13, but same time, I don't know. We've always said it's usually five or six gets you in. Six is the most common, probably, and five happens every now and again. But Stewart missed the playoffs with the 6-8 team without a tie. He just outright didn't make it. That's pretty remarkable. Good on Lewis and Senior for having strong finishes. I thought they were. I thought one of them was going to be in the losers bracket, but they both pulled it off. Excuse me. And then the first seed, it was one of the lower one seeds that we've ever had, 9-5, right? Was that shared? Oh, wow. Kyren's dead.
We need to upload these. These are great.
Mike tried to kill Kyren. But if you rotate that the other way, it's actually more accurate as to what happened. There you go. Mike is lying on the ground shooting a pistol in the air while Kyren soars above him.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess we can talk a little bit about last year and this year. There no jinxing there, right? No harm. No.
Last year already happened.
So. Yeah, it happened. Oh, it happened hard. hard and, yeah, it was bad.
Hard and fast.
Has Bryce called you at all? Just kind of like, ask what it's like. And
Joey, I am so happy that you brought him up. It's very funny hearing him complain and moan and whine about the luck and lack of picks,
popcorn eating meme,
all of that. I don't know, I just, that was funny to me.
I was looking for one of those gifts and just to kind of capture that, and the closest one I almost sent was a kid complaining about the Wi-Fi being broken. I'm like, right. These are like first place problems. There you go. There's a good updated picture.
Yep.
Yeah.
Listen, winning back to back is tough. Nobody wants you to win again, and it's a select.
Oh, this group. Is hilarious. Hold on. Guess who I just ran into at the Costco parking lot.
You just ran over Bryce?
The other half of the semifinal.
Oh, here we go. Hey, look. Oh, how
are you doing? There it is.
How are we doing? Oh, man. I didn't expect to see you here.
I'm not even kidding you. I just drove
up. How wild, huh?
I kid you not. I just drove up.
I'm pulling into the Costco parking lot, and you send me this link to get on the podcast.
Lewis's timing. Just
opened the line to get in is crazy long. So I may as well hop on and who parks right next to me.
Lewis, what a run you're having here. You have shocked the league by taking out the defending champ, which we all appreciate. In fact, I actually got if you listen back to this towards the end of this podcast, there is a letter from Santa that I'm going to read. And I'll let you know kind of what his thoughts were about everything. But anyway, what were your thoughts? How did you feel about taking down Bryce, having three guys not have a single point?
Well, I'll be frank with you.
You can be Lewis too, but go on.
Yeah. it's really just shock. And I'm still taken aback from 2 weeks before that when I had a total of 9 guys on my team, both bench and players, that were out. Mm-hmm. So I've never experienced that before. And I told Ryan at the time, I said, there's the season right there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, as it turned out, you know, and that still to this day, it overshadows me because and then what happened this past Sunday was, it was Santa delivering.
you're the ultimate sleeper.
I thought you were on the naughty list, but it must have been Bryce on the naughty list. So,
you know, I think that is funny that – there were a lot of people that were complaining that he needed to set a full lineup against me when I was in first place, but nobody had anything to say when he had two players with broken thumbs in his first lineup. So well, I think that we should just let people set lineups how they want to set them.
That's fair. And this is why this is a slippery slope argument, and we can definitely table this for Summit, but I think it's important to discuss, because had this been earlier in the season, it definitely would have slid by a little bit more because the ramifications weren't as obvious. But when you have four or five teams, depending on the outcome of that matchup, and it appears, and it's not on purpose, but it appears that you're just kind of sending in, you know, the backups and the no starters and no, like, it just gives a bad taste in the league's mouth. Now, that being said, we've actually talked about it before, Joey. There's a strategy to saying, hey, I'm going to have all of my players on bye in 1 week. That's that right. Way, 13 out of the 14 regular season weeks, I have a full lineup. Right. And so there's, yeah, it's viable. It's just a really, really, really bad look when it's the second to last week of the season. And it's very clear and obvious what needs to happen for people to get in or get out or whatever. And the fact that Lewis had an opportunity to make the playoffs, and clearly it was the right move because here he is in the semifinals. It was one of those things where it's like, hey, let's just get some of those spots filled. If you can, just because otherwise, I mean, there were some guys on your bench, Lewis, that you could have definitely cut earlier. There was Shaq Leonard. Shaq Leonard was one of them, and then he ended up on the Eagles, which is so funny.
Well, listen, I got to be – here's the thing. It makes you – I think it's more fun, and I'm talking just for myself.
Sure.
But if there has to be a mandate of some type that says we've got to be put the most competitive team on field, then – And everything else that's happened to me, and I think I told this to Ryan, if we had a team that we were actually fielding on the field and we were going out there and coaching, it would make us to be a better coach at the time, because we have to deal with people that are out. You have to deal with people that are hurt.
Yep.
Whatever the case is. Of course, the difference here is we can backfill that position from 1 week to the next. But I liked it. I like it. So, hey, I mean, maybe I wouldn't be saying this. The turnout, it wouldn't be where we are today, but
well, I listen, do like it. So I'm glad you brought that up. It actually is in the what we call the Constitution or the league bylaws or whatever, that you have to field a starting roster. Now, we don't get to dictate. Nobody should dictate who that is and what that looks like. But when you have three or four defensive players, and you're not the only one that's guilty of this, trust me, this is a league-wide announcement. When you got three or four defensive players on your bench and you could easily drop two, maybe three of those to help field offensive players, which we all know statistically bear out more points over the season.
Of course.
You know, that's where you start to get into the question of like, well, is this fielding the best lineup you could offer without sacrificing the guys you want to keep, right?
I think the only deal is that really the only change that might need to be made is a certain number. Look, if it's more than X number of players that are out in a week, then I said this at the time. If it's nine players that are out, I'm not messing with it. I'll punt to the next week. You know, I think that's really the only thing, is when there's so many guys you have to drop and I think
a fair compromise potentially, and we have to assess out some of the wording and specifics on this, because there's going to be one-offs where you're like, well, what about this? But how about you have to start offensive players? Like every single offensive player has to be filled from a starting position standpoint. And, you know, injuries are going to happen and things of that nature. So there, again, there's one-offs, but if you're making an attempt and then you look and people are going to know like, hey, there's guys on the waiver wire that definitely should be on your lineup, or maybe there's guys on the waiver wire that I wouldn't add to my team and I get why he's not doing it. That's all right. Going to play itself out, and people are always going to have their opinion, but it's just a bad look at that point of the season, obviously with you guys playing each other, which there was no insinuation there. I mean, that happens with me and my dad too, or Joey and my dad and David.
Kittle.
You know, Kittle. It's part of being in a family league. Oh, yeah. Yep. We've got hot takes on the Kittle trade. Don't worry. But all that to say, the good thing is, here's the good thing. I think you did the best job you could fielding it, and it ended up working out in your favor. It would have been a lot worse for us to say, hey, you probably should do something, and then obviously you end up missing the playoffs, and now it's just like, well, you forced me to do something. So I think we got a little lucky there, but you know, it's something we have to talk through at Summit. Like, what are – because, again, it's in the bylaws. You have to field a roster. So what does that mean when push comes to shove?
Right.
How do we enforce that?
I think all I'm looking for is a crisper rule that we come up with, that there's no subjectivity to whether you did it or not. So, like, the thing that
would – A certain number of starters –
Well, no, Joey, to your point, this is why I was saying this, right? Like, what if we said, hey, Joey, why are you not starting Tua? You should be starting Tua. And that's your discretion, right? You started Stafford and it worked out well for you. Hey, Bryce, you should have been starting Hurts. We're going to force you to start Hurts over Howell. And he's like, no, I want to start Howell. So there's decisions within a lineup that's literally not our job to police.
But
there is some bare minimum, because then you have the Josh Boren effect, right? Are they even trying? Are they even engaged in the league? Are they paying attention? And we don't want to go down that path anymore. I think we have a great 12 guys in our league, and I think it's awesome. Everyone knows everybody, and it's fun. So as long as there's some sort of, hey, guys, I know I don't have a full lineup. Here's, you know, maybe some justification. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like, but something.
So even if it's just like I like the, hey, every offense is rostered or something like that. But – whatever the crisp definition is, the train wreck I think I'm hoping we avoid as a league is getting to a situation where it's subjective, where we're like, well, we think it looks bad, but then someone else is like, well, I have good reason, and somebody has to make a call, and then half the league has a bad taste, right? And we can avoid that if we throw out we make up some rule, but now we know. We know ahead of time what the outcome of that rule will lead to.
Well, so there's a line, right? We can come up to this line and say, hey, you have to have this minimum requirement. From there, it's up to that manager to...
See you guys later. I got to go.
See ya.
Adios.
Lewis doesn't want to hear the rest of this ruling.
No,
see you in line. Bye.
He's benching it right now. Get out of here.
I'm probably going to... I need to write it down somewhere because I'm going to forget it, but... That would be the bare minimum, right? You have to start every offensive player. I'm not saying you have to start a specific one, but you have to have a starting player in every offensive slot. And we just have to do the math on how many bench slots there are to allow that to happen. And then from there, it's just decision-making. But if you have, like, this is the problem. If you have all your best players, because this happens all the time, all your best players are on the Bills or the Chiefs or the Packers, whatever it is, you're going
like
to be
stack.
I think it is incumbent upon the owner to understand that they can do that. They have to meet a minimum requirement of you need to field a full roster that week that they have a bye. However you get it done, you have to field a full offensive roster. So if you have to
practice, I think the only other side to that argument is that, and I like that framework. The only other side of that argument is, if I have the CD Dak stack or the Travis Kelce Patrick Mahomes stack, in my head, if they have a bye week, whatever, week 14, in my head, I might be thinking, you know what, I'm probably going to be out week 14, probably going to lose that game, you know. And I think they even do that in the league sometimes. If a player is on IR or something like that, or they're holding him out, you know what, if we play the Chiefs defense in week four of that IR, week four of his injury stint, he's probably going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. Why don't I go ahead and put him in IR? Because I don't want to bring him back against a hard defense and hold him out that week. We're going to lose anyway, and then bring him back the next week. I think that happens in certain situations. So if somebody can say, you know, hey, look, I can probably drop one of these guys. I can field a full team, but I'd rather have the players that are on my team now. If they can explain that to us on why
the
they're not
part,
dropping
see,
them.
The hard part is – there's different values to a quarterback than there is a defensive lineman. And if you decided, well, I've got Dak, I don't want to cut it.
What about a linebacker and a safety versus a tight end? I mean, those are much closer.
Well, we can definitely have that discussion in part. Maybe there are certain positions that need to be filled. Quarterback, like running back, receiver, those have to be filled. Yes. And then from there, there's an aggregate number that you have to be, that has to be filled within your lineup. So your minimum is quarterback, running back, receiver, all of those spots filled, your flex spot filled. And then you need at least whatever it is, three more spots filled, two more spots filled. And it could be any of those spots.
Yeah. But I would also propose, I like that, but I would also propose or if you don't, you need to be able to tell, like articulate why you don't want to drop certain players.
So that's what I want to avoid entirely, is having to make a case, justify, people get around. I would rather it be whatever, I'm open to all rules here, but at least whatever rule is come up with, everyone in the league can see the situation that's unfolding and go, I know what outcome that leads to. And we're all in agreement as to, just like if a fumble happens, it goes to this point. If this happens, yeah, like I don't like some of the way the rules may be, but I know how to plan against it. We all know how what the negative consequence would be to it if they
broke the rule or
whatever.
Yeah, you have to set a consequence that's powerful enough that it forces behavior, but
it's comparable, like fair for the consequence.
We can't turn into like, okay, well then you guys set my lineup and now it's the whole league chiming in and saying, right, how do we do that? Right. So there is a subjectivity baked in. That's why if you back up and before you get to that point, you have to, as an owner, as a manager, you have to have the wherewithal to say, hey, this is my bad week here. How am I going to figure this out? And it's on you, right? So the onus is on the owner to figure that out. Now that could involve trades. It can involve draft pick trading. It can involve a lot of things, but I do think that there's ownership that needs to fall on the manager versus the league having to come in and police that, because that becomes.
What I don't like though is that ultimately, if a manager is okay punting on a week because they want to manage it a certain way, and we are trying to implement rules so that manager has to do things a certain way, because we don't like how other people in the league may be negatively affected. I don't like that, because ultimately, if other people in the league win more matchups, then they won't care. You know, if you win matchups, then you don't care, and somebody else can manage their team how they want to.
You open things up to collusion. You open things up to all sorts of things in that way. Like, I'm just not, I don't want so and so to make the playoffs. I'm just going to not make this change.
I think there's a way to define it where, like, an example, right? Hey, you're allotted up to two empty slots for the entire year. Post that, right? So giving some flexibility of, hey, recognize weird scheduling things happen, or I missed the week because I was busy or something like that, right? But I'm still trying to be engaged. But, like, if post that, like, you cross that threshold of, say, two open slots for the entire year, there's a clear consequence to violating a third one for the year or something like that. And it doesn't have to be, like, I don't know, it could be ping pong balls, it could be points, whatever.
My punishment would be a significant draft pick.
Whatever the league, but my point being, the framework of the definition of the rule tells everybody, I'm getting close to that edge, and we all know, oh, well, I don't have to go find Stewart to be like, is that guy really putting the lineup, or is he still engaged? We all know when they cross that line.
I think we're muddying the waters here between putting your best lineup forward and, hey, there's like four, I mean – we don't even have to have hyperbole here. There were nine guys on bye. Okay, let's take that down to like six or seven.
Hold on. The problem is you're already jumping in front of the horse there. How long did he know that he had nine guys on bye?
That's the question. Yeah, I don't know. But let's just say it was a couple weeks and he's looking forward to that and saying, okay,
but
I'm probably going to lose this week, and I'm okay with that because I don't
want to make rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. When does the NFL announce their schedule? It's before the season starts, I'm assuming, and this is very rhetorical, obviously, but that's my point, is the information is there, and it's upon that owner to look ahead. We have access to all regular season weeks to be able to see when our guys are on bye. And if it's specifically buys related, that's something that you can proactively manage. Injuries, whatever. I mean, that stuff happens within week to week, game to game, and that's something that you have to figure out on the fly. And that's something that is a whole nother thing. But I don't think it's necessarily, you mentioned something about best lineup. I don't think it's necessarily the best lineup. We shouldn't be sitting there saying, well, this guy's projected for more, so he has to be in. You do have to have guys that are actual.
Right, but the words collusion and stuff like that were tossed out there. So I think there's a difference between this guy's punting on a week and, hey, look, I really want to play. I want Stewart to get in as a number 8 seed instead of whoever, Bryce, because I think Stewart's first round matchup or first round schedule is easier. So I'm going to lose against somebody so Stewart can get in. That's more collusion based. So that's where I'm saying you can't really – there's a big difference between, like, putting your best foot forward in a lineup and kind of screwing with things that way versus lineup or team management and managing buys. I think we're conflating the two arguments because it's just really hard to tell somebody who says, I would rather have my guys that I trust – all year long and don't want to get a bunch of guys on waivers and stuff like that. And if I have 6 or 7 of them, I'm okay punting that week. I don't like telling somebody, you know what, you need to plan and you need to, you know, have enough guys in your lineup so that you can field X number of players every week. And if they don't want to do that, then why are we telling them, hey, it's, you know, because you can't, even though it's going to negatively affect.
Yeah,
your-
the problem I have is up until that point when you say if they don't want to do that. Well, the part of the league is you got to have a minimum requirement. Otherwise, I can just bench all my players and start nobody. I can just have 0 people in my lineup and say, I don't want him to. I want this guy to get a win this week because it'll help me. Like, you're opening that door too. So the point is, you have to have a minimum requirement as a starting lineup and.
But that's what I said earlier. If he says, look, I'd rather just eat the bye this week because I like the schedule for all of these players moving forward. Why is that a problem?
Hey, go for it.
I think that's fair game.
As long as he can start a starting lineup, that's all.
No, I think that's fair game. I'm actually leaning into what you're saying. I think Ryan, which is, hey, I think the manager has the choice to do the outcome. It's just, I don't think we've done a good job as a league defining what the outcome of making that choice is. And right now it's ambiguous. I think we're like, I think we got to get Stewart involved. And we all know how Stewart, you know, does.
Yeah. Stewart, what's your input? You're muted, by the way.
Yeah. He's got people in the room with him.
He put a finger up for those who weren't here. Yeah.
As an expert in this area, I've got a lot of thoughts. I would say, obviously, like the thing, I'm guessing y'all were talking about the situation with Lewis. I don't think any of us thought that there was collusion or he was trying to throw the week for somebody else. But I do think that, like, especially with these buys getting later and later into the fantasy season, it is one of those things that you're, as the rest of the league, I think for the good of the league, you are looking for people to try at least to put their best lineup together. And so I would probably, if we were voting, I would probably fall more in on that side of it, even kind of going to our constitution. Like, I think that there is some argument to be made that it's like you're supposed to field your best lineup. And so that may mean dropping a guy that you don't necessarily want to drop in order to put a guy out there that you, I mean, we're not saying to drop Christian McCaffrey
So that's my
are
point.
Are you saying, I don't think you're saying best lineup there. Best, I think you're saying complete lineup.
You got to take the word best out. Yes. You have to have a starting lineup in place. Guys that aren't on bye in those starting spots. And even if you want to Brian's point, say, well, sometimes there's, you know, you just don't have a choice. Okay, narrow it down to you have to have all offensive spots filled with starting lineup. Like that at that point you have the information that, okay, there's enough roster spots on my bench. And even if it's defenders that I have on bye, that is easier pill to swallow for most managers that are looking at that saying, okay, I get it based off his lineup. This is kind of where he's stuck with. And at least he's putting the offensive players out there. And we can figure out those specifics, but I do think we need to put something out there and stand by.
I'm not arguing against that point, but let's play this out, guys.
Yeah.
If I'm playing three offensive substitution players, do you really have a good shot at winning? You know, if you have three starters on the offensive side.
You can't say that, though. You cannot say that. Did anyone think that Bryce was going to lose to Lewis with three zeros in his lineup?
I don't think you can say that because the number one seed loses more often than not. I mean,
exactly.
I brought it up last year. I know Bryce is shell-shocked this year, and I get it. That sucks. He has a fantastic team. But Josh Allen did the same thing to me last year, 48 points.
But you're getting really specific. The point is, if you have a guy that actually has a chance to score points versus a guy who can't, who has a better chance of winning? You have someone in that can score points.
That's the thing. It's up to the manager, though. It's up to the manager.
Coming at it from a different angle, we've talked about in the Constitution doing things for the fun of the league and guarding against empty rosters. Like I actually feel somewhat in the same camp of if I have a good roster and it happens to be they're all on bye, I think I'm tempted to want – I really want to keep that, right, and not give that away. But for the fun of the league, as a participant observing matchups – even matchups that I'm not in, watching a matchup that is unrostered or mostly unrostered against a matchup that's rostered, I think is one of the things that we detract from. And maybe we're wanting to put some guardrails against to what degree we want to see a matchup be unrostered. Maybe there's some flexibility there. And that's the part I'm open to is.
Sure. I think we're all there. We're all there. It's what is that? And then there is no, well, if they don't do that, then they have to explain themselves. No. There's a
punishment
at that point.
I think we just have to be crisp about, okay, if it's not rostered enough, what do we think is like an equitable consequence to that? And that may be what's worth that.
That's summit, so right? Once. Yeah. So I think we're essentially on the same page. There has to be a definition. There has to be guidelines more clear than what we currently have. And then there has to be enforcement of it. After that, there is no let's hear him out.
The only caveat to me is if a manager can articulate why he doesn't want to drop.
That's the point. Anyone could argue in one way or the other that this is beneficial for them, but it may not be beneficial for the league.
But that's the thing though.
That takes priority over someone's individual, because that's the same thing with collusion. Collusion benefits them. Why do we have a little conclusion?
If somebody can say, guys, look, I really like these guys' matchup in the playoffs or later on down the road, and I'm sorry, I know it sucks for whoever might be needing me to win this week or whatever, but I think it's better for me to keep.
That's the thing. It's not necessarily just one manager that might benefit from that. It could be half the league that changes everything because they decided not to play.
Yeah, that's where I would say it goes back to – And maybe this is just good discussion for
the summit,
but I think it's if we put rules in place for the good of the league, and we vote on it, then I think we have to abide by those rules. And so, because that's where I would say, and again, I can understand how it may be a little fuzzy. It's not clearly defined exactly what that means right now in the Constitution. So I think we just clean it up and we vote on it, and then because. I definitely understand the other side of it. I just think
100%.
I just think that there's and this is not the same thing, but I even think a little bit to like the Spurs and Pop and benching star players and different things like that. And it's like, look, the league has some say so in who you bench and who you don't bench in the NBA. And so, or at least they did at one point, right? So again, I'm not. It's not apples to apples, but it is.
Well, they get. And again, to continue that analogy, they get penalized severely when they do that because they have TV contracts and some other things. So you lose interest from the fans when you do that. You lose interest from managers when you realize that some guys are just doing the strategy that completely tanks your chances to win. And so
you can. You can still plan around it and choose to keep doing it, which is fine because it's all been called out, like what happens,
yeah,
right?
And yeah, taken so maybe out it's one of those things, whatever's decided, if it is decided that there is this rule and then you know the punishment for the rule, you can make the decision at that point, is it worth the
well,
loss
so, of draft so let me or, let me again, this is a bigger conversation for Summit, but in that mindset, the first punishment should be somewhat severe and to deter, right? So maybe it's a first round draft pick or the highest draft pick you own. Okay. You just lose that. Nobody else gets that. You lose that pick. Second time you do it, you're out of the league because at that point,
what are we talking about?
Guys? I don't know about that far.
At that point, you're not paying attention. And you're doing
it.
There's a big difference between saying, look, he hasn't made any roster moves. He's not paying attention and saying, look, guys, I get it. I really like, you know, whatever Ravens defense. And I don't want to drop these guys.
I get it. I know
Daniel or so-and-so needs me to win. Whatever.
You got to be real careful here because if we go back, this is revisionist history. If we go back,
talking about first-round draft pick penalties. What do you mean be careful?
If you look back at what was actually happening, there were guys on Lewis's bench that weren't even on a team.
Yes, Shaq. So, you're right. That's why I'm saying
how do you enforce
nine players? It was probably realistically six, maybe.
So right? How do you enforce that is the point. This is what we're talking about. You have to have something that paints a picture of like, dude, you can't do that.
That's a good question. Okay. So if he can tell me, look, I'm okay doing what? I'm okay dropping player X, Y, and Z, but player, you know, A and B, I don't want to drop them, and I'm okay taking the L this week because.
Okay, so if you
can articulate to me why you don't want to drop player A and B.
So if someone can convince you that that's a good enough reason, but can't convince me, how do we rule on that?
I think that's why Stewart is in the position that he's in.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of this. We're going right back to the same thing of like, hey, Stewart, go ahead and tell us what the right thing is here. And Stewart may not. What if Stewart's involved in it? You know, there's a point where what if they're playing against Stewart? You know,
then if Stewart won more, it wouldn't be a problem. You know, if that's the thing, we want to the point of the league, we want to have fun and have it be competitive, right? Overall, be competitive.
So I'll come at
somebody who says, look, you may manage differently than me, and that's okay. I'm okay taking an L this week,
dude,
because
I totally get the strategy, and I'm one that I don't want anyone to tell anyone else how to manage their lineup, but you have to have some minimum requirements, and there is no explanation after that. There is a minimum requirement, and then if you don't meet that, then there's a punishment.
I think maybe a minimum requirement week over week, right? Like if you're saying a first-round penalty for somebody who, like, it just is done managing. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Hey, they haven't made moves.
And let's negotiate what that is, but it needs to be steep enough to where that they are discouraged from doing it. If I said $10 fab, okay, I'll take the $10 fab.
Like, nope. I think maybe a heavier dollar fab penalty for somebody who's like, look, I'm eating the loss for all the bye week penalties. There are all the bye weeks. I'm okay with that.
You get zero fab the next season.
You have multiple weeks where you haven't made a single change in your lineup. You had 4 weeks or however many bye weeks where you have X number of players missing. That's a completely different that's like lack of movement, you know, lack of management. Where the other style, we all agree, is a type of management. You just may not like it that much, but it's still management.
I'm a bit hesitant to get that severe on the thing because weird things happen in the season. Injuries happen. And I think we might paint ourselves into a corner there. I just want to know. I just want to be able to plan ahead, such as, like, if I had Tua, like, taking Lewis out of this, right? I think Lewis's scenario just kind of shined a flashlight on a corner case we haven't really thought through. So, like, an idea that I can think of that would impact me potentially is, if I had Tua, Tyreek, and Mostert, like, is that a strategy I can try and lean into for a season, knowing that all three would be right on bye? What do I need to start planning around for to still honor whatever guardrails we have in the season, right? That's, I think that's all we're, I want to get at is what is, what do I have, what can I work with here within the bounds of this? And this is just an ambiguous scenario.
Yeah, the problem is as you look at multiple teams on the same bye week, you may not have all Dolphins. It may be three different teams that you have all of, and they all happen to have the same bye week. That's the scenario Lewis was in. And so again,
let's be real. It was that plus a couple defensive, like
Shaq, for sure. Leonard. And that's why I'm saying if he had dropped those guys on his bench that were bench players, that were defensive players, and then maybe a defensive player or two that he could have maneuvered to get offensive players in, and he had a full starting offensive lineup with one or two guys on bye on defense. Okay. That's something that you can kind of accept. And I think we can all accept, but it's just showing the effort. It goes back to, are you showing the effort to manage your team and put a full lineup out there? Not the best lineup, just a full lineup. That's competitive. Otherwise you're giving
someone a
win.
I wouldn't even bucket under effort. I would say, is it fun? Like, let's say I've got a great team and it just happens to be the whole team across multiple teams all is on one bye week. Do we enjoy as a league seeing a matchup where 1 week it's half empty because they stacked it for the rest of the season?
That doesn't matter. It's a strategy. You just may not like it for this 1 week, though.
That's the question. That's what I'm asking.
The problem is because we don't like it as a league, it does matter. And so it could be something we rule against and say, hey, that's not something that we signed up for, is for someone to just not have a lineup 1 week. That's all we're getting down to. And it doesn't have to be, you know, again, there's a bunch of one-offs and there's a bunch of what if he did. I mean, Lewis had the perfect storm. He happened to also be in contention of the playoffs, as well as three other teams at that time, four other teams all fighting for the last two spots. And it's, you're looking at it like, cool, so he's just not even going to field a roster. And the ironic thing is now he has a shot at winning a championship
the other ironic thing is that one of the players that he dropped, and I'm not saying forced, but I think he had Roshan. I'm pretty sure that's the week that he dropped him, you know? I mean, that's we've talked in circles. This is the last thing that I'll say. It is something that I do agree. We need to put something in place. I don't know how. My opinion is that it is a strategy. You just may not like it for a week. So if we need to do something like a X number of players for 1 week, and if you don't meet that requirement, then it's X amount of fab. If you do it 2 weeks in a row, then it's more severe, because that looks more like a, it's not league participation. Whereas it's strategy for a week. We just may not like it. And I personally don't think that needs a penalty, but I'm okay having that discussion, and I'll vote one way or the other.
The vote I'd put out there for the summit is you have to field all offensive spots, just because that's a clean, like, you're not differentiating between tight end and everybody else, but just all offensive spots have to be at least started every week. And that's, again, if you have a last minute guy go out right before game time, that's not the same thing as someone on bye, right? There's circumstances you can read into, but I think that needs to be voted on.
And if I do understand, look, if we leave some type of area where I would propose saying, hey, look, if I can articulate to Stuart why I'm not fielding a tight end or whatever, and it makes sense, I understand why that leaves gray area. And you're right, it absolutely does. But if I can justify to Stuart or whoever it is in that position why this is my strategy, I think that we should hear a manager out, because they're still participating and it's still a strategy.
The flip side is, what if there's a conflict? And also, what if Stuart decides, no, that's not okay? Now you have to do it anyway, right?
Yeah,
you have to do something.
And that's the rule reinforcement.
And you still have to serve that penalty or make a change or whatever the time frame allows.
Sure.
Which again,
let me tell you, Stuart would not let that. He would not let that happen.
There you go. Yeah. So if you want to put it in his hands, I think you know where he stands.
I'm teasing.
I'm teasing. But I think that my last word on it would just be, if we have a rule in place, I don't think it's an outlandish rule to say that you have to field how many offensive players we have?
I think there's seven,
six. Like
seven. So you running backs, two wide receivers.
You can still have a lot of strategy with your team, but you just know I've got to have six, seven offensive guys every week. I can strategize all I want, but I've got to know that that's part of the rules of playing in this league. I've got to have six guys that I can throw in there.
Yeah.
All right, my last word. Just kidding. I got a different strategy. I got a different Lewis strategy that I think is working for him that I wanted to ask about.
Have the best quarterback year in and year out?
Yeah.
You nailed it. he wasn't that great in the beginning, right? Like, but he's a great end of season quarterback who rises. Like, Buffalo's hot right now, right? As a QB.
Buffalo is, and they need to win. That's the right thing.
And so I'm wondering if I'm misreading how I value quarterbacks based on when they peak in fantasy season versus how well they do season.
The only problem with that's a season by season specific thing. If you're looking at it that way, I mean, it's not always the same guys that peak at the right at the same time.
You know, I didn't pick Lamar Jackson this year, although I think I might be regretting it. I didn't pick him this year because the last couple times I had him, he got injured right at this part of the season, right when I needed him to get me through the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's not predictable either. Those are just scenarios that you've experienced.
They run him in, they run him, and by the end of the season, he's worn down.
He's
owned by Stewart, and they're dead.
The irony is Josh Allen's the same kind of player, and he scores a lot of touchdowns by the goal line, and he runs up against linebackers, and he doesn't really get injured. So
I got to run. Right. But the last thing that I will say, if y'all will allow me, it's funny how different things are, right? We're talking about the different quarterbacks and whatever, right? It's funny how different things are year to year. The number of starting quarterbacks that have gotten injured and how that's changed things, right?
Yep.
How that happens in the league, the NFL, but how certain things in our league never change. They're constant. The number one, and I don't want to change the number one seed. As somebody who's been snake bitten probably more than anyone else, I don't want to change the number one seed and how we handle that. So I just wanted to say, seeing Brian, and I wasn't taking joy in it, but I was seeing, like, it gives me some relief seeing another number one seed the very next year get wild thinged. I was looking back last year, Josh Allen dropped like 48 points on me in the first round. George Kittle had his best game of the year on me last year. And it's not like I had a bad week as the number one seed in the first round, but it's just every year the number one seed doesn't have it easy. They have to make a hard decision.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And the whole point of this is you have to win enough to get into the playoffs, and then you have to win three games in a row. That's it. That's the secret to winning a championship. And your guys hopefully are playing their best football. I mean, Bryce said it. All of his guys had their worst week except McCaffrey at the wrong time. And that happened to Senior when Stewart won his championship.
Hurts had a good week too, but
don't worry. We've got some got some things to talk about there.
Bryce, that's time for me to jump off. I'm not talking about matchups or anything. I wish everyone good luck.
Merry Christmas.
Peace out.
There goes another manager.
I do think it's a cool, it's an interesting perk of being first. You get the heavy weight of calling out your outcome, right? What you're going to get to, and then eating it, whatever the outcome be, right?
Well, you're impacting the playoffs too, no matter what. So you're either keeping everything the same, you're getting your 6 points, which that's a touchdown. You know, that's not something to sneeze at. I mean, I'd like to know how many, maybe that's something that in the offseason you could do, is how many matchups were decided by less than 6 points, and how impactful is a 6 point advantage, right? But that being said, you do have the choice to say, ooh, I don't want to play Lewis, because all, which it's just funny how it played out because Lewis had not the greatest week. Bryce just had a terrible week. So to Bryce's point, he's like, I would have lost to pretty much anybody almost in the.
I think this year was the worst year to try and make a choice as first place because everyone was so even spread getting into the playoffs.
Right.
And so, peaking.
Yeah. So it, anyway, it's, I think sometimes go down a rabbit hole of trying to give the one seed too much power. And at the end of the day, you just got to win three times in a row. And the unspoken advantage that people don't really take advantage of enough as the one seed is you have enough, hopefully, foresight to see that you have a chance to win a championship, and you can look ahead and you have enough information on the season as trade deadline comes up to make moves to say, I want the best players of the best matchups. If you can make those trades, especially from guys that are out of it, like David was willing to sell like 3 weeks before the trade deadline. So there's different ways to skin the cat, as they say, but that's another way that the number one seed potentially has an advantage early in the season compared to the guys who are just trying to make the playoffs. So
I think the worst was not this year, honestly. I feel like the worst is when you've got like a 12-2 team, you know,
or something like
that has been totally dominant the entire season and then loses one game in week 15 or 14 or whatever. It's just like, that to me makes you feel like there should be a bigger prize for going 12-2 or 13-2. You know what I mean? Like there should be.
That's an idea. Should we have like
an advantage based off of win total?
No, like
that's a good idea.
You know how like in certain video games you get certain achievements for hitting some metrics.
What I just said. So advantage is based off your win total. Right.
Not just win total. Maybe you get something for the reaching 200 in a matchup or something like that. So little perks that'll help you in the playoffs.
Hmm.
The easier thing would be however many wins you have, that's how many points you get at a point.
That is a good way to do it because then
that's not too high. Yeah.
It would have been a 9 point, or the highest would have been what, 12 ever given?
We've
had a 13-win team in the playoffs. I think 12 is the highest someone's ever gone.
Yeah, the last few years, we had a 12-win team last year, 12-win team, 21, 10 wins, 11 wins.
That'd be an interesting amendment. Is keep it to where you could choose, but for the points,
Your points reflect your win total. That's your
win total.
So you slightly bump it up because you're not. What's the lowest one seed? Is it this one this year? The nine wins.
Yeah, we've had
Bryce has been the worst first seed we've ever had.
Yeah, we had a 9-4 first seed in 2016, but that's it.
Yeah, and then this year was 9-5. So the lowest it's ever been as the one seed is 9. So you're automatically getting a 3 point bump.
Yeah.
From what it currently is. That's interesting. We'll have to vote on that. Summit, but yeah, that's good. Stuart, we haven't really given you the floor to share your playoff experience. You've been tending to needs of your family, as is David, so thoughts and prayers with David, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. This is the first time you've missed the playoffs in how long?
Yeah, I was, let me see. I missed the playoffs in 20. Hang on, I've got it right here.
It was this century.
I'll find it just a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Was it just the first season or something like that? Because it was pretty early.
I'm appalled that you're like, I don't even remember what it's like.
Oh, he knows.
2018.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, that's pretty recent. I mean, come on now.
This year in 2018. Yeah, this year hurt a little bit, but it didn't hurt that bad after I pooped the bed in the first round of the playoffs. Because I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't fight to make it into the playoffs and then score the worst score of the season.
Yeah, that was a That's pretty that's, rough.
That was kind of with Bryce too. Bryce and I both had our worst weeks last week, which that's a not a good time to have a bad week. At least I was out of the playoffs already.
Yeah, when I beat Bryce in the playoffs 2 or 3 years ago, whatever that was, I think I only scored like 98 points and he scored like 96 points or something. That was the great time to do that. Sometimes it's a great timing to have that kind of a week.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's disappointing. I'm excited though. I really am. I'm not just saying that. I'm excited because I'm hopeful that we'll have a new champ, which will be cool.
I agree. So we're all rooting against Staffel. That's what you just said.
That's right. Well, that's a given.
We knew that about you, but that was kind of my sentiment too, is get a new champ in here. It'd be funny to see Lewis pull this off with the controversy.
I would love for Lewis to win.
Oh my gosh. Between the controversy and the fact that, you know, he's been in the championship how many times?
Yeah, I've got that too.
Like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, it would be quite the story, the storyline. I still think, I mean, I picked Daniel way early on in the season. I think one podcast ago. And I don't know. I still think he could make the push and win it all. Who's your favorite?
Dude, I think Lewis is definitely the underdog, just given his roster compared to the other three teams. But I just don't bet against Lewis. I mean, it's funny. I called last podcast too. I called a Palomo. I think it was the last podcast. Maybe it was just in the chat. I called a all Palomo championship. So I kind of want to see that happen.
That'd be cool.
That would be fun. It would just be so funny to see Ryan work this hard to get to a championship game and then lose to his dad. You know, what a storyline.
What a storyline that would be. Yeah. So Lewis has been in the championship the last 2 years.
Wow.
Okay.
And so like with all the picks in ping pong balls, I must be in their water.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, with all the picks and making it to the championship back to back, how are these teams doing this?
So again, if you look at
Lewis doesn't touch his team much.
Right.
Lewis That's goes back secret. To the same well. Lewis goes back to the same well with the players he knows, and they're good players, and he gets them, and then he just is autopiloting. Like, he's like, I'm going to trust these guys to win. He doesn't really get cute. He starts his guys and he just lets them play. Ryan, that's why I was making the comment earlier. Last year, he had all the picks. He was so loaded and he couldn't do it. This year, he had barely any picks, but he happened to hit on his draft. If you look at all the guys he got, I mean, like Mike Evans, nobody really wanted him. They fell to him, and Mike Evans had his best season in a while. Kyren Williams, nobody thought he was going to be the guy. And then he
can't believe him.
He's like the top 5 running back out of nowhere. I mean, it's just things like that. And, you know, obviously he has good keepers too, so that helps. But, you know, it just goes to show you don't have to load up on draft picks to win. That's my only, speaking of strategy and what's the best thing to do for your team and the league. My opinion is I would hope that people wouldn't just always revert to every other year trying to get as many draft picks as possible and trying to win it that way. Now, listen, it works and there's a lot of strategy to that, but you know, Ryan also showed that he can blow through the regular season and lose the first round too with a team like that. So it creates a little bit of imbalance. There's a lot of teams that just don't have picks or whatever, or like the back half of that season, they're just playing for the one seed or whatever. Number one pick. But all that to say, we saw how this played out this year. It was pretty interesting how there was like a top tier and then a bottom tier of players. And most of the top tier made it to the final four. So I don't know. Every year kind of got its own little twist, and we'll see. David's got a lot of picks for next year. Joey's got some picks still. Stuart, you don't have the best draft set up for next year. I was kind of shocked by that.
What? I don't have a third round. That's all.
Yeah, but I kind of thought you would. What was your thought or your intention going into the playoffs? Were you like, if I make it, I make it, and if I don't, I don't? Or is it like, I'm going to hedge and try and get – did you attempt to get draft picks thinking you weren't going to make it? I mean
– No, I never tried to get draft picks. I was – I mean, because honestly, I was in it until the last week, so I was – I didn't want to give up too much. I swapped a few, like – nines and tens with David on a few things, but like my only real move that I gave up that third round pick for was Mozart, and that was earlier. That was like week 9 or 10, something like that. So it wasn't like this last ditch effort to try and get into the playoffs. So I mean, I wasn't really wanting to give up more than that because I didn't think I still feel like I had a good team, but they didn't perform this year. So I guess that means they weren't a good team.
No, that's you summed up exactly how I feel about this season. I keep looking at my roster. And I'm like, I have a good start.
What happened? Yeah.
And then you just got guys that just didn't show up either from week to week, or maybe they fell off throughout the season. You're like a good one for you is like Brian Robinson. Like, yeah. He was dominant at the beginning and then he just fell off. And it's like, well, do I trade him? Because he clearly was dominant and at some point he can easily get that back. Do I sell him on 75 cents on the dollar? Like, do I really want to? So I felt that pain you felt where I was like, I don't want to trade those guys. And I feel like the timing of trades, David really screwed it up for some of us because he was out so early and he's like, dude, I'm selling.
Yeah.
And he like,
he knew how to time it.
He went to all the buyers and was like, I'm selling, strip me down. I don't care. And by the time it was like time for me to sell, there was no buyers.
And then it didn't matter for David either. He got hot right there at the end, sort of picked people off. Yeah.
And then that was the weird thing was David started winning when he got rid of all of his quote unquote best players. And that's just fantasy.
He should have sold round two.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess the trade deadline had passed at that point.
That's right.
It's also, you know, I the frustration with Fields, the frustration with Olave. I mean, you see last night, what Olave can do. It's just,
yeah, it was his best game of the year against me.
Stupid. Yeah. And they feed him like that first drive. I think he went like 5 for 5 and had like 70 yards in the first drive of the game.
Yeah.
It's like that guy's awesome. Why aren't you throwing him the ball?
Oh my gosh. The Fantasy Footballers podcast, one of the guys talks about that. He goes, there is a very simple equation: throw or give the ball to your best player on every play until the defense actually stops them. And so like, look at CeeDee Lamb, like the Cowboys had just adopted that this year and it's definitely paying dividends in real life and obviously in fantasy.
Yeah.
And it's like, it, you know, Jefferson is that guy for me and he was dead half the season. But you see sometimes these guys just get left out of the game plan. Sometimes like, what are you doing? Like it's bizarre. The Saints is a great example.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So who, if you guys had to, Joey already asked this, but I kind of want to hear y'all's takes. If you had to pick a winner, who you guys think? Joey, you say Daniel?
I say Daniel, but I do want to see a Palomo championship. That would be fun to watch.
There's what you want and what you think.
So yeah, I think what I think is Daniel. Daniel just marches the whole way there.
Okay. Stuart?
Yeah, I would probably say who I think if I were to put money on it, I would probably put money on Daniel. The only thing, which I hate to say this, but so much of it depends on the Cowboys. If Dak and CeeDee play the way they've been playing all year, it's hard to pick against Mike just because that stack, I would say that stack has been the best stack in the league this year.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, I think that you're 100% right there. I agree.
Mahomes, Kelce era is over.
I think Staffel is the pick. I think Staffel's the pick. But if I want to see what I think are the best two teams, it would be Staffel and Daniel play, but I want to see the Palomo, all Palomo championship. As far as Mahomes, Kelsey, it is interesting that Senior decided to throw Kelsey away, and Daniel paid a premium for him, and I don't know if he's gotten the return on that that he expected. He hasn't been particularly dominant since like week 7. So he's been good. He's been fine.
Pretty sure he's a little distracted.
Yeah, that's about the time that Swift came in and
he took needs his to shake it off and just get with it.
Oh man, it's not like he's 23 anymore. You know what I mean? That is the extent of my Taylor Swift knowledge. So if you keep going, if we go back to like Dave Matthews or something, I can keep going all day. But
who's the anti-hero here?
Yeah.
What else did you want to talk about, Joey? Oh, let's talk about
a few Vegas. Ideas.
Let's talk about is this Super a reality Bowl. For you, Stuart? Because I know we kind of thrust this upon you every time, it seems like, and there's always the well, we'll see aspect, and I 100% get that. There's things can change between now and July / whenever we go in August. Can this be a reality for you to do a draft in Vegas? Let's start with that.
Absolutely. It can be a reality. Yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Some of it has to do with church schedule. And then honestly, some of it is just financial. It's like, man, can I swing that? And you know,
yeah, you know, that's why we try to look at it this early is to get the deals and like package things up. And then it's like, hey, it's if you can budget this money this far in advance and just think ahead to, you know, you got to save $1,000 between now and August, essentially.
Sure. Yeah.
That covers your stay, that covers your whatever else it comes with the draft portion of it, which was cool last time. It was what was it, Hard Rock? Was that where we were?
Yeah, it was Hard Rock.
I mean, and that came with a meal and drinks and everything else included in that. That was a pretty cool setup. So I think something like that. And Ryan, thank you for doing that. I think Ryan, there's a reason why he's the best
planner, manager, whatever ever.
Chairman of the party planning committee.
Chairman of it all, yeah.
Best czar of.
Oh, the czar. That's right.
The czar of. Oh gosh, I can't remember what it was.
I mean, I tell people about that story all the time, and they're like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, this league's amazing."
Yeah, there's some definite like this. There, it's a special when we do something like that. So if we could pull that off. Again, I'd love to get the entire league to go. I understand there's always going to be probably one person or two people that can't make it work, but it was a good time. So, just continue to kind of drop these little nuggets out there to remind people like, hey, we probably want to go to Vegas this year. So start thinking ahead financially on what that means and, planning as well. Don't plan a vacation at that time. Think about what those dates are or
don't have twins.
Come to Summit with like suggestions on timing that works for you, right? So like be prepared. And that's not necessarily what's going to happen, but at least we have information to plan around. And anyway, I'm excited about next year's draft. If we do it in Vegas, that's the way to do it, I think.
Yeah, next time I'll push that we draft 2 hours later.
What does that mean?
You don't remember? I had what's his name? J.K. Dobbins.
Well, and then David drafted the backup, and it was Gus Edwards. And then I think he tore his ACL like the first week. So that was just a cursed position that year. So, but no, that those are some of my favorite stories. Is when someone drafts somebody and then they're instantly injured or retire. I mean, those are some great draft stories.
Let's do a little. David usually does this, but I'm gonna do it. Let's do a quick look back at the draft board. Yeah. Oh no, not trivia.
Oh no, okay. I thought it was trivia.
No, I haven't. This was an impromptu podcast, so I have not done the trivia. The best and worst of the draft picks. So. First round this year, Bijan Robinson, Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, ETN, AJ Brown, Mixon, St. Brown, Olave, Gibbs, Ridley, and Hurts.
There's two players in there that I would have to pick between, but I'll let you guys go first. They're towards the end of the first round, by the way.
I would say granted, I haven't actually looked up his numbers, but Bijan Robinson does not feel like he was the best first pick in the draft. I know future.
Correct. That's part of the baked in equation here is he's an automatic keeper.
Yeah.
And so in fairness, if you're looking at it in a vacuum, that was probably a bust pick. If you're just weighting it as the number one overall pick, probably a bust pick.
So
I'm going to give that one a pass.
Okay.
Because of the implication of he's got a 10-year window with that guy and should be a Hall of Famer, all things, you know, playing out. I'm gonna say it's between two receivers towards the back end.
Yeah. Olave.
And riddle me this.
Yeah.
Olave, to your point, he had his best game this week. Let's just put it that way. Just very inconsistent. He had some big games, had some non-existent games. And Ridley's been very similar. Ridley's been like zeros or like 30 points a bunch. And then he's had a bunch of like 4-point games. I own him in the other league, so that's the only reason I know Ridley's been a bust.
You wouldn't say Hurts.
Jalen Hurts?
No. Jalen Hurts.
I wouldn't. Dude,
why would you say wouldn't Jalen Hurts?
First round.
Yes. Do you understand how good Jalen Hurts has been? Maybe
two QB. I don't know. He's putting
up. We're talking about busts, not the best.
Oh, bust. Sorry. I thought we were saying best. I was like,
were you really saying? Were you really thought we said best?
Yes. I was like,
No, Jalen Hurts.
Okay, bust. I see.
Yes.
I would say Hurts is for sure the best, especially being picked at 112.
Yes. Yeah, I think you guys nailed it.
Yeah.
Henry, Diggs, Adam.
Stuart, let me ask you this. Well, Henry hasn't been the same, and you could argue because he was picked so early, he maybe is a bigger bust. But knowing what you know, who would you rather have had this season, Ridley or Olave?
I don't know that it would have mattered, but I probably am glad I think Olave's on a little bit better offense, but
and not that he's going to be your keeper, but he had the upside to be that guy. I think Ridley was more of he's an older player. He's not going to be a guy that you hold on to for multiple years, but if Olave had some magical season, maybe you're considering keeping him.
Sure.
So anyway, yeah.
I mean, if he finishes strong the rest of this year, I may keep him, but
yeah, there's still that potential. That Saints offense is weird. Okay, go to the next round.
Okay, next round.
It's funny how these answers change throughout the year, too. That's what's interesting. I think the first round's been pretty consistent, though.
Yeah. So then,
they're all driven by
Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Ramondre Stevenson, Aaron Jones, Andrews, T. Higgins, Debo, Damian Pierce, Justin Fields, Alexander Mattison, DK, and JK.
Well, here's the problem.
Terrible row.
Let's see. One, two, three, four. Almost half of them have been dramatically impacted by injury. So if we decide that we're removing injury from the factor, which we don't have to, I'm just saying if it's based on that, it's like, did JK Dobbins didn't even play? Like you didn't get one game from him. You've gotten games from everybody else on that row. So that's why if you take that out, it's It could be someone like Mark Andrews, who also was injured. I don't know.
Maybe not boom or bust, but were they valuable for the league or for you as a manager for the season, right? So then that incorporates the fact that if you got injured, it's not that you didn't show up. You just I wish I could get that draft pick back and pick something else, right?
Yeah, so with that logic, okay, Burrow wasn't as big a bust as, although he was the first one taken, so you have to weigh that in, but Burrow was actually really good. He was really bad, then really good, then hurt.
Yeah, so he started out bad.
He had a roller coaster of a season.
I mean, he played the first 11 weeks, so I wouldn't say that he, you know, I wouldn't count him out as he was injured. I mean, I know he's injured now, but.
All right, I got to know. What did you see in Justin Fields, Stuart? what was the thinking there?
If memory serves me right.
It doesn't have to. I'll click on 2022 and I'll make the argument for you.
He had a really strong second half of the season, if I remember correctly. And I always liked the quarterbacks that in the dual threat. And so that's why I kind of had Hurts, Burrow, Jackson, Lawrence, and Fields in a tier by themselves, like a tier of their own. And so at that point, all that was left was Trevor Lawrence from that group. And so I wanted Fields over Lawrence, which I think even sitting here now, I still probably would want Fields over Lawrence just because of the potential boom,
yeah,
you know. But obviously, I told you this all season long. I, especially having Tyreek, I really wish I would have taken Tua. But I had him last year, and I saw him like seizing on the field, and I was like, that dude is one hit.
One hit.
Everyone's one hit away. But I was just like, I'm not going to gamble a second round pick on that guy.
Are you sure? They're definitely, everyone's one hit away, but he was like abnormally, like just falling on the ground and getting concussed. So it wasn't like he was getting rocked. I mean, he was just landing and dying. So I get your logic there. Fields, where do you think you finished last year overall ranking wise? Just off the top of your head. 2022.
Quarterbacks or total?
Yeah, quarterback ranking.
I think he was top 12.
He was number seven.
Ah. Yeah.
So to Stewart's point, the upside was there. If he just finished where he did the previous year, it's a good pick.
Yeah.
But the hype going into the season was, okay, now he's got DJ Moore. He's improving as a passer. So I totally get it. I probably would have been tempted to take him if I didn't have Herbert. Fields was definitely considered to be a top five guy going into this season, but it just
didn't
play out. If you go back to this
question, if you're going to pick on my second round my second round pick is T. Higgins.
Oh my word!
What were you?
What a mistake! What a mistake! Well, yeah, and I think week one 0 points.
Well, so Higgins was bad. So if you just look at guys that if you took really injury out of it, this is kind of where I was going. Higgins and Pierce were really bad. Aaron Jones, I think, has been injury plagued.
Yeah, he's been decent when he's played. Not like he used to be, but he was hurt. He's been hurt more than he's played, I think.
But this is like murderer's row for injuries. Like you just go across this and they've like half the season or a good portion of their season have been affected by injuries, or they've been ruled out for the year because of injuries. And so it's being that it's the second round pick, it wrecked your team to have some of those guys, unless you had multiple picks. So having had Pierce all year, I'll put Pierce out there as the biggest bust. Higgins was right there too.
Do you think that played a role in giving the rest of the league more opportunity to even out and have a chance to get in?
What do you mean by that?
So earlier picks didn't play as much of a role this year since they were all busts or they got injured, right?
Yeah, but I think you're assuming that everyone had the same number of picks. That's the problem. So Mike still had a ton of picks. Jackson had a lot of picks. So they could afford to miss them.
I'm thinking even picks right now.
Yeah, that's not how it played out in reality. Just some of these guys had more darts to throw, so they could afford to miss. Yeah, I'm going to go with Pierce or Higgins. Joey and I had probably the two worst picks in that.
100% Higgins. I think I only got one good week out of him, and that was last week. So,
let me make a case against J.K. Dobbins. He was coming off of a knee, and nobody wanted to touch him with a 10-foot pole, and then Bryce took him, and then he tore his Achilles the first week. That's pretty bad. I mean, it's bad luck that he tore his Achilles, but it's also like that's like the third time Dobbins has been injured. So you want to talk about an injury prone player, you kind of made your bed picking him.
He's gotta be done playing, I would think.
Yeah, it's too bad. He's contract season two. Go to the next round.
Let's jump to the third. We've got Cam Akers, 3-1.
Let's just stop right there. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Hockenson, Trevor Lawrence, Dallas Goedert.
Dang, Joey.
Williams, Pacheco, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore.
Hey,
Rashad White.
Keenan Allen almost makes up for those first two picks you had there, but.
But I screwed up and traded them all away.
Akers,
Cooper, Connor, and Drake London.
Yeah, Drake London's bad. That's not necessarily his fault. But he was also the last pick in that round. If you go earlier, I mean, Akers wasn't even on the same team that he started with. He was cut. And then he still hasn't even been. So this is Akers season. Starts with the Rams, gets cut, goes to the Vikings, tears his Achilles, and misses the rest of the season after week 9.
Great third round pick.
That's pretty bad. Stuart, who did you take? Oh, you didn't have a pick.
Yeah, I didn't have a pick.
That was Joey's. So you assume the Goddard pick. Not a great pick.
Yeah.
Dude, here's the really funny thing. Keenan Allen should have been in the second round. Like, if you look at that, Keenan's the number 5 receiver. He didn't play last week. He should have been probably, you could argue, in the first round over Ridley and Olave, right? So, anyway. Who would you say is your kind of flipping it on its head? Who's the best late round pick?
Across the board?
Yeah, who would you say, like, everyone had a chance to draft this guy, and
Achan at 8-4 has got to be up there.
Yep.
CJ Stroud?
Mostert at 9-3.
Collins? 17-5?
Who?
No, hold on. I'm cheating here.
Dalton Kincaid, 10-9.
Yes. Where did Sam Laporta go?
He was 16-4.
Really?
That's got to be that's by far that's the pick of the draft for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's been amazing.
Laporta.
He's the number one tight end. Just hire more people. It's fine. He's the number one tight end, and he's kind of that Kittle role where he's got bad games, but then his big games are just like weak winners.
Yeah.
And to get him in the 16th round, it's pretty awesome.
Of course, you've got CJ Stroud at 19-3.
That's
Cuba Hubbard at 19-5.
Oh, no, yeah.
Taysom Hill at 19-9.
Get out of here.
Baker Mayfield 18-1. Sam Howell 18-5.
There's definitely a lot of guys in the last three rounds that have played more than guys in the first three rounds.
No, you're right. Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. That's why it's funny that we kind of toss those like double digit round picks into trades all the time. And it's like you can find some guys. It may not be a high probability, but you can definitely find some season long starters in there.
Jordan Love 16-10.
Jaden Reed 17.1. And yeah. Starting for me this week against you, Stuart.
Not worried.
Well, let's shift to that then. What are we wagering here for this week? You've got a head start. You've got a projected lead. You've got an actual lead. What are we wagering here? Is it a simple water bet? Is this head to head? I'm willing to just say straight up, no odds that I beat you.
Sure, I'll do it.
Add it to the board.
Oh my gosh. We got to update the water bet list.
Yeah, probably.
There were a lot made this year, I thought.
No, there actually haven't been very many made.
Really?
No, there really hadn't. Especially based on previous years.
Interesting. Well, I've got kind of a pretty firm stop coming up here. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss before I open up this letter from Santa?
No.
Okay.
I'm excited to hear this. That's why I joined the podcast.
Yeah. So to be clear, let me open up the letter. This is from Santa Claus. And actually, he sent along an audio recording of it, so we'll get to hear his actual voice. And it was sent to me the Tuesday after the conclusion of the first round. So, without further ado,
in a winter's game, under stadium lights so bright, DK Metcalf soared a Monday Night Football delight. Through the frosty air, a ball thrown with care, he leaped and he caught it, a gift in midair. Like magic, a play for the ages, in this season of cheer, only one manager rages. With a grin on his face, and joy in his stride, DK danced like a joyous holiday sleigh ride. The league erupted, a holiday cheer, for a catch so spectacular, heard far and near. In the realm of football, a moment so grand, Merry Christmas, Bryce. Now take a seat in the stands.